Welcome to Apply the Exercise Science to Strength and Conditioning Training. Facts, not tales, with strength coach Fernando Rosette. Welcome to episode 4. Today we're going to talk about the reality of the no pain, no gain during training. Is this the only way to train? Is this the best way to train? What happens when you train really hard? What happens when you don't train hard enough? Let's talk about it. Is the old saying, no pain, no gain, legitimate? I mean, how many of us grew up exposed to this type of mentality where training was pretty much all out every single time? If you were not really trying your hardest, you were not supposed to have or get any gains. And not only that, your coaches would always be screaming at you. It was a very specific type of pressure. So that's the way I grew up. And, you know, to this day, I feel like I am definitely an old school coach when it comes to how I train my people. But I have also learned that, you know, everybody needs to be training in a different fashion. Everybody has different triggers. People have different interests and different goals. And for that, obviously, the style of coaching has to be different these days, depending on who you are training. But anyway, going back to the no pain, no gain. So is it true? Or is it not? The answer would be, to a certain extent, it is true. But we have to be smart about it. So we have to remember the human body is a biological machine that is going to adapt to the type of stressors and the environment it is exposed to. In other words, our daily lifestyle is going to determine what our body is learning. Every time there's a stimulus of any kind, our body is going to react accordingly to that stimulus. Or if there's no stimulus, obviously there's nothing to respond to, right? Well, not necessarily. If there's no stimulus, then that means that there will be some changes that sometimes would or could be detrimental for our health. But let's try to stay on the same track, talking about when there is a stimulus, when we get exposed to some type of stress over and over. Our biological machine is going to learn, is going to adapt, and is going to overcome that stimulus. And if it cannot overcome the stimulus, then bad news, something bad could happen. You could be injured, or, you know, there could be a detrimental impact. So if you do it right, that's where I'm going with this. If the stimulus is enough to stress the system, but not hard enough to injure it, then we're doing something right. Now, how does that work? When it comes to exercise, I'm going to call it physical training or PT. That involves regular, ongoing exposure to different types of changes in the human body. And that's changes in metabolism, changes in body temperature, changes in levels of oxygen, and a series of chemical reactions as well as mechanical stress that take place in the human body. All the stimulus trigger a compensatory physiological adaptation. In other words, all the stress and of different types of stress that we are talking about are going to tell your body that we need to make some adjustments to overcome this type of situation. And what happens is our body increases the tolerance to subsequent sessions that involved similar stimulus. In simple terms, whenever we exercise, again, metabolic changes take place in a single session. The changes in the body temperature take place. We obviously are exposed to an environment where we can barely breathe sometimes, right? So we are running out of oxygen. We accumulate carbon dioxide. And again, a cascade of different metabolic and chemical reactions take place. At the same time, muscle tissue is exposed to mechanical stress that also originates another series of mechanisms at cellular level that create a lot of changes on that muscle cell that is going to require a particular first recovery, and only then it will have the potential to overcome that stress if it's done properly. So all this jibber jabber that I've been talking about is basically focused on a term or a word called or known as hormesis. Hormesis. The origin of this word comes from the Greek hormein, which means to excite or to set in motion. That's hormesis. And truly, what it entails in the human body, and talking about physiological adaptations, is basically describing the process that explains how, in order to create a new adaptation, there has to be a stimulus. And after that, the system requires time to recover from the stress that it was exposed to. And later, there is a supercompensation that will allow for an adaptation to take place. So that's the definition of hormesis. Now, as I mentioned earlier, low exposure or too high exposure to stress could be detrimental, while moderate exposure is going to give you the best benefits. For example, if you are doing endurance exercise, you are depleted of glycogen, of that sugar that is the fuel that we use, and your core temperature is going to increase. In response, the body increases glycogen storages and improves thermoregulation. In contrast, if you overtrain, if you do a lot of training, this could cause chronic depletion of glycogen and also could create an excess of the heat stress, basically converting this case into overtraining syndrome. So it's the most typical scenario where basically you are training too hard, you're not recovering enough, and you get that basically you're depleted of your energy, fuel, glycogen, and you're overheating the system. For that reason, physical training sessions should be programmed and properly periodized. That means the level of the stress has to gradually increase based on the particular case for each person. So it has to be well organized. It has to be well managed so that the volume changes in the proper sequence for you to adapt the best. So once again, and put it in a more organized fashion, I'm going to give you a scenario on how, what are the steps for adaptations to take place. So when it comes to exercise, for example, muscle growth, strength gains, power development, speed, agility, increases in aerobic capacity or VO2 max. The explanation on how we adapt to exercise could be described as, number one, we exercise, introducing the stress to the body, and the stress creates an alarm reaction followed by many recovery mechanisms. Number two, as we allow the body to rest and follow proper recovery protocols, we're going to enable our body to get ready for the next session. Number three, over time, so the more you repeat this cycle, and you continue to train following or followed by proper recovery, then our body is going to learn, and there will be a super compensation reaction. So our body pretty much is getting ready for the demands of the exercise. And that's when we truly take advantage of the training gains. So it is key to maintain physical training consistent, including strength and cardiovascular modalities, as well as emphasize on the recovery protocols, which is something that, you know, in the old school, no pain, no gain, nobody cared about. No one cared about recovery. It was always no pain, no gain. Do it again, over and over and over. On top of that, now we need to include proper nutrition. So that's part of the recovery process. And another factor that is super important, a lot of people don't think about that, but sleep. Sleep is vital to prevent overtraining and support maximum adaptations. That is truly where we are allowing the adaptations to take place, when we sleep. So this is in a great scheme in a big this is how adaptations occur in the human body. And it's recommended always to have a program that is well established, well periodized, and recovery protocols are in place. If you have any questions about these processes or how programs work, if you don't have a program, contact me and we'll get you going. Thanks again for listening. This was Strength Coach Fernando Rosete, and this is Applied Exercise Science. We'll see you next week.